Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Comedian Pete Lee with us, also comedian Nick Allen. Peach at the Funny Bone this weekend, funnybonomaha.com, starting tomorrow night.
All right, my blind.
We're waiting for Cuba Gooding Jr. in about 10 minutes. Going to phone the program.
Facebook friend has checked in here.
Does he? Well, he hasn't seen him, so is he completely blind? Or is he one of those?
Yeah, I believe he is.
Got it, all right.
He's also, he's in Denver now, but he's a Viking fan. Right. So he starts out, after watching that Viking game,
You mean after hearing the Viking game?
I saw, I have to say, I'm pretty happy I'm blind when that last field goal went off.
Right.
And I have to check in because I assume they had the, this is about the Baltimore Orioles now, the Braille jerseys because the National Foundation for the Blind, which is the biggest blind organization in the world, is based in Baltimore.
That makes sense. Still, did you get the sentiment, though, having Braille letters on a baseball uniform?
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously you couldn't see
couldn't
it.
Couldn't see
yeah.
it. Well, I'll tell him right now, it looks stupid. All right. I mean, it looks stupid. It really did look stupid. All right.
It looked like an allergy test.
Yeah. It did.
It did make me smile when Tyler's comment of having a blind person read the person on deck and make them announce that.
That'd be funny.
He liked that.
That'd be funny. Then just put him in the field and see what happens. That'd be even funnier.
That's Chad, the blind Viking fan.
Yeah.
Hey, can I mention, last week we had T.J. Miller.
Yes.
His feature missed a flight and couldn't make it in for the first show last Friday night. So here I am all of a sudden, you know, panicky. I call Nick Allen. Oh. Nick came in a bind, did 25-minute set in front of T.J., and he killed.
Good for you, Nick.
Nick's I didn't know that, Nick. You he start rocked the room.
Bragging about yourself
killed.
More, Nick, on our show.
Yeah. Thanks. That was fun.
Yeah, much a good crowd. Obviously, it's a packed house.
It's a good crowd. Like, we talked that night, too. It's different. There's a different energy when it's packed and people have been waiting in line and looking forward to the show.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's easy just to go in there and be
a
like.
A Moose Lodge in Iowa.
Right,
like
yeah, it's a little different.
As opposed to the rest of your gigs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he gave it to equal promotion when he knows he's going to be on stage.
He didn't know he was going to be on.
I know.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
When
I
he knows he's going to be on, he forgets about it and forgets to promote it.
Sometimes.
You know, I don't find out until about 3:30 in the afternoon that C.J. Sullivan had, you know, gotten bumped from a flight and wouldn't make it in till 9 o'clock. So
well, Nick's absurdity works well with TJ. I can see that.
But it was so cool because, you know, I call Nick and it's ring and it's almost going to voicemail and he answers at the last hello because he was at
my
work.
Cube. Yeah, and that was a welcome relief. I'm like, oh, good. Now I'm not going to consider wrapping the phone cord around my neck this afternoon. I've got somewhere I've got to go, something to look forward to. Thank you.
He came in and destroyed. So I'm very proud of you, Nick.
All right. Come see Pete destroy this weekend.
Maybe. We'll see if his energy is zapped. Because
from Jamie Love coming in.
I know.
Yeah, I'm gonna
sap your your balls a little bit.
Spring break, Omaha. That's what's gonna be happening this weekend. I'm gonna need a Gatorade and a hug because I smash.
You do smash.
It's funny that idea of that phone call, because I've had that before.
Yeah.
Especially my friend Nikki Glaser's out in L.A. doing Dancing with the Stars.
I thought about Nikki when I saw her on the roast for Bruce Willis, and you told us a story right before that you tried to get back together once, and you got naked, and nothing happened, and you were just laughing. We're just friends.
Yeah.
And I just kept picturing you naked with her watching the Bruce Willis roast.
Well, we weren't naked. We didn't get naked.
You were thinking about having sex that night.
We slept in the same bed together.
Right, that was
and
it.
Then,
Tyler was just picturing that.
Yes, yeah. I was. He was.
Yeah, weren't necessarily naked. He was just picturing
right,
that.
Yeah, but she got Dancing with the Stars, man.
She's on Dancing with the Stars.
I don't watch it. I hate the show, but whatever, good for her. It's a good pub.
Yeah, it's so it is weird to be like, I'm so excited for her to be on this thing. I don't care about but it's a big thing.
It yeah, really, it's huge. It's
a network show.
It's a network show. She's going to get mainstream fans. You know, and
she
all
will.
That stuff, but
and they'll freak out when they come to see her set.
Say, she's dirty as hell, isn't she? Yeah.
That'll be the biggest joke of all.
I know.
Exactly.
Oh, I loved her. She cried on camera, and I loved her.
And then they go see her on stage.
Wait,
right?
What? She's talking about her. You know,
she's dirty.
She is dirty.
She's so funny though.
She's so funny. But I've been getting a lot of her sets. So she'll call me at 6:15 p.m. and be like, I'm so exhausted from dancing for 4 hours. Can you do my set at the Improv?
Oh, cool.
And it's the funniest. When you get a call, you're like, what? There's a comedy emergency? somebody needs me?
A comedy emergency.
It feels good. You put your cape on, you fly in.
Yeah, you're like, I can do this. And you feel like a hero.
You don't wrap the cord around your neck like Nick's about to.
Yeah.
There are some calls from like, if you repeat what you just said for the fourth time, you're going to wonder what happened to me, and it's because I killed myself, and I'm not ending this call.
Yeah.
Puss is fluffing Cuba Gooding Jr.
Then we tell you
right
that, like, oh, there's a
on.
Lot of times you're...
Hang on. Oh. Hang on here.
Hey. Io, you're in the spotlight in there, man. You sunk a damn destroyer. People get medals for doing that.
You're going to stand there and tell me you think they're going to give you or me or anybody else on this base a medal for doing anything right.
Okay. All right, so you won't get a medal. Bottom line is, we know what you did. We know it was a lucky shot. But it's still one destroyer down.
Tuskegee Airmen right there. That's Cuba Gooding Jr. with us right now.
And the new movie is Bayou Caviar. Comes out the 5th of October.
Did you know right away what that was from when you heard it?
Tuskegee Airmen. Yeah. I sure do.
Yeah. When you hear it in the... Our producer tries to pick up a clip that's something a little different.
Right. We try to stump you.
Yeah. But we didn't stump.
That's the only movie that I revisited with George Lucas in a new film, our film called Red Tails as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Red Tails.
That's
yeah, Red Tails.
That's right. But, that was great. Well, I haven't heard those lines in a long time. That was cool.
When you flip through the TV, do you stop with any of your movies? Have you seen them?
As Good As It Gets. That's the one movie that I can watch at any time and forget I'm in it.
I love that movie.
Because working with Jack Nicholson was magical. It really was.
Your character was so good in that. You were so excellent in As Good As It Gets. I love that movie. It also,
thank you.
Yeah. Talk about the new movie, Bayou Caviar. Explain what this is.
That's it.
Yeah.
You get to direct. How was that?
I do. And I did. You know, Denzel Washington said to me, direct, and you'll understand. And I get it now. And I think, you know, as actors, we surrender our performance to the director and hope that he interprets it the right way. And then when you see the movie a year later, you know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But to be in the editing room and you get to choose the takes for your performance and everyone around you, it's intoxicating.
How'd you judge yourself? How'd you judge yourself?
How does one direct oneself?
Well, it's funny you say that because the first time I did it, I was so focused on the co-star, this new actress, Leah Johnson, was doing this scene with Famke Janssen. And I was so focused on what they were doing, I forgot what I did in the scene, so I had to do another take. And I told myself, don't worry about them, just you stay in character and then watch the playback. So that was the first thing that screwed me up. But then after that, everything kind of just fell into place, you know? And I think it helped having written the screenplay, because you get that through line. You know where the character was and where he's going to find the truth in the moment. And it's just a kick in the pants. It really is.
Bayou Caviar. It's October 5th.
Yeah, a lot of directors
VOD, and it's like theaters
have a lot of different approaches. So which one did you like best? Which one did you respond to the best?
Which one? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What style of director? What style of director appeal to you?
You know, director, I'm pretty in there. I'm pretty boisterous. I'm emotionally connected to what the actors are doing in the moment, you know? And it's funny. It's like on October 5th, our film comes out. Bradley Cooper's comes out the same day he directed the first time. I haven't seen A Star Is Born yet, but I could tell that he's just as passionate about his work, and I think that's born out of being an actor who's connected to the character.
We didn't hear what the movie's about, actually. What's your movie about? I'll let you explain it, right?
Yeah, Bayou Caviar is a story, you know, on the lines of like a Crash or Pulp Fiction, where you have these good people who get caught up in this bad incident. Richard Dreyfuss plays a Russian mob boss.
I love Richard.
My character, who's, and he's great.
I love Dreyfuss, yeah.
His whole resume to every moment, every day of filming. And you talk about not coming to the set, not having your A game, and he'll call you out on it, you know. But I play an ex-boxer who carries out this dirty deed for him and gets one of his employees involved in this sex tape to get some incriminating evidence on him. And, you know, we deal with a lot of themes that we're still dealing with in today's society. So
Cuba Gooding Jr. with us.
I think we had a good time.
Cuba, did O.J. get a hold of you after the miniseries?
Or did you talk to him
at all?
No, not at all. I saw he gave some interviews from jail when he was still locked up, saying that he wasn't going to watch our show. But, you know, that was a dark character to play. 6 months of being in that mindset almost killed me, you know.
Obviously got great reviews. Everybody loved it. But, Colin, you saw the whole thing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we always put you in a dark place playing the character.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
You try to find the truth of somebody like that. And it took me a while to shake it, but I think that's probably why I went to London stage to play Billy Flynn, you know, because it's singing and dancing, just freeing my soul up.
Right. You're singing. Yeah. You're going to be on Broadway in
That always
in
works
Billy
for
Flynn,
me, by the
Chicago,
way.
Singing and dancing.
Singing and dancing. Freeze my soul.
Nobody wants to see Todd do that.
I love it.
You're joining the Broadway company as Billy Flynn in Chicago. And November coming up, actually, right? So you'll be singing and dancing.
Yeah,
October 6th.
Opens Friday,
right.
October 5th, and then the next day, Saturday, I'm on the Broadway stage doing it again.
All right,
still 6 weeks.
That's
working,
a good weekend.
Still working. Love your work, Cuba Gooding Jr. with us. Cuba, thank you. Good luck with the new movie and everything you've done. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Right. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is Cuba. I knew it was Cuba. I didn't want to correct you guys last time. It's Cuba Gooding Jr., not Cuba.
But the country is Cuba.
No, it's Cuba.
Cuba.
Don't say that because you hand me the note.
No,
make sure you say it's Cuba like the country.
He's Cuba.
I know.
The country is Cuba.
Shut up.
Yeah. A Few Good Men, Guantanamo Bay.
Let me fill in
That's
Pete.
In the country
let me,
of
Let me
of
fill
Cuba.
In Pete. There's a
Cuba.
Hispanics in general, which I read, don't like it when white guys or other people try to use their... just all of a sudden change their pronunciation of something to sound like them.
Oh, okay.
Like chili.
Like newscasters are guilty of that.
And they are, but I've read, I always hated it, and then I found out that I was on the side of the actual Hispanics. They hate it too.
Yeah.
So, like when somebody says...
Chile.
Right, it's Chile.
Or Uruguay.
Uruguay.
I know, but Uruguay. That just became crazy.
Viva Brazil.
Brazil, they know, it's Brazil. So when a white guy's on the news saying something, all of a sudden he goes, in Chile, I just hate that. And I realized that I was right. They don't like it either.
Yeah. Chile.
And we do it just to aggravate.
I know you do it. I love that. I have no problem with that. But at least I knew I was right.
You say Cuba, whites say Cuba.
Exactly. I didn't see the O.J. story. I don't even know. I didn't even want to ask him. He said he was in a dark place. But I'm guessing Cuba Gooding Jr. is a pretty smart guy. He knows that O.J. did it, right? Did you see any interviews at the time?
It sounds like it.
He did a lot of interviews at the time.
Yeah, it does sound like it. But again, he's not
Yeah, a dark place doesn't mean you're...
No.
I'm in a dark place playing this guy that was wrongly convicted. No.
Yeah.
He was...
Yeah. And Cuba's method, so he went and murdered people just to play that role. So he really got into the character.
But it's on the down low.
It's on the down low.
I didn't know that. Oh, see, that's your Hollywood insider. Right
yeah,
there,
Peter
Lee.
People in Hollywood, they were so cool with it. You know, it was for
his method.
It was for the craft.
It was worth it.
It was for the craft. He was amazing playing OJ. Like, he was so good at playing OJ. I was like, wait, do I like OJ? That's how good he was at that.
No, you like Cuba Gooding Jr. That's why.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't watch it. I heard it's really good. It's on Netflix still. Is it an old series?
Yes, I think it is still available.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, he was phenomenal. David Schwimmer was amazing.
It was great. Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't get into that. Maybe because we lived it in real time. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was a reason. But I heard it was really good.
Yeah.
It got great reviews.
Obviously dominated and the news cycle. And
that whole trial gave birth to the Kardashians.
It sure did.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
By the way, speaking of that.
Well, that and the sex tape.
Did you read Kendall Jenner's tweet from last night?
No,
I never would say that, except it was one of those,
she's
rich and famous.
She's connecting with the real folks.
Explain,
now.
Read it, Puss. You got it right there?
I don't have it, but she said she just for the first time in her life, tried cereal with milk.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Wow, what a groundbreaking.
I know.
Yeah. What had she been eating?
Yeah, what was she mixing it with previously?
Well, I don't know. Kale, who knows?
It was probably almond milk. It was probably substitute.
She didn't say that. She's getting lambasted on Twitter, obviously, today because of that.
Was that the one we saw naked?
Probably was spoon-fed a little caviar in her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one we saw
thousand
naked.
Thread count that's sheeted Kendall, bed.
Wouldn't you be curious, though, after watching TV and seeing all these commercials for Captain Crunch and everything? I mean, like, hey, maybe I want to give that a shot.
At one point, they were just kids, those two. You'd see on the early Kardashians, they're just 10-year-old kids, the Jenner kids, you know, when her dad was a dude.
Yeah.
You know?
No Frosted Flakes, nothing.
But they were living in Calabasas with a transgendered dad.
Yeah, but still, though, everybody has cereal.
She said that she always liked cereal dry. She never bothered to put milk on it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Right.
I get it.
That's one thing I thought transcended all social classes cereal.
But she never tried it. I love that.
And to be fair, I guess this was Kylie Jenner.
Okay.
She's also
rich, too.
And apparently it was Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'm going back through her feed.
Thanks for clearing that up. Well, that does that
cereal in particular does get better with milk.
That's so Hollywood.
I had a tweet when I first moved there. My girlfriend and I were driving down the street.
He tweets at Pete Lee Tweets.
At Pete Lee Tweets.
Right.
On Instagram, it's Pete Lee. But we were driving down the street, and I go, you know that you're in LA when you see a girl walking down the street, and you're like, that girl's trying way too hard to look like Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
And it's Kylie Jenner.
That's great. Yeah, I think I've heard that tweet.
It really was her. I was judging her, and then I was in awe. I was like, oh, she's.
One of my favorite lines about LA. You can tell me this is Rob Lowe said this years ago. He said everybody moved to LA in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and everybody was going to get into Hollywood. Most people don't make it, but they stayed and reproduced. So everybody's good looking. And it's a great line because you're right. A lot of actors and actresses and singers and songwriters don't make it, but they stayed and got regular gigs, and they're all good looking people. And now everybody's good looking, right?
Everybody's good looking. Yeah. I've even started to eat way healthier
because you're there.
Because I'm there and I exercise all the time. Because you can't you go you like the guy bagging your groceries. Well, I guess those are entertainers too. But but it's literally like the cashier at the grocery store just has this jawline, and you're like, I gotta get in shape. And
you don't have anywhere else in the country. You feel normal in those places.
Yeah, you feel normal. But like, I want to get in such good shape that people are like, is he a stuntman? You know, like that's how in shape I want to get.
That's a good goal for you.
Yeah. I want to get
a stuntman.
See, I noticed that more like in Hollywood, downtown LA. If you Orange County, there's regular looking people there. So you should hang out there more often. You'd have a better self-image.
Yeah, they're crackheads. Those people are crackheads. But even the crackheads, I'm like, man, look at that jawline. I'm doing all that crack.
From doing all that crack. We'll take that call for your crackhead. You got a good jawline. We look for the tough calls here. We really do. Pete Lee and Nick Allen with us. Pete Lee's at the Funny Bone this weekend, funnybonomaha.com. Nick is there for a comedy emergency.
Yes.
Get a hold
always
of him.
My go-to guy.
Get a hold of him.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.